Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you here this weekend. Always happy to be here with you all. And despite the games that my computer's playing with me, you know, they upgraded Windows 10 to a Windows 11. There was that mandatory thing. I hope you all took care of that, because if not, there's vital security updates that you need to get, right? But still, they didn't fix the thing where even though I have several openings on my desktop, I just saved a file, and the file is way off to the side, like the off the screen. That's where the file ended up after I saved it. Come on, Windows, get it together. This has been happening for the entirety of Windows 10, now 11. What's going on? Anyway, on a website that will not display faulty in any way, shape, or form, as Windows 11 is doing to me and Windows 10 did, you can go to Main Street Radio Network. Everything there is quite clearly visible, easily labeled, mainstreetradionetwork.com. That's a great website. Why do I pitch it to you, though? Because they're the ones who bring you this good show here that you're listening to. So, want to help support us, keep us on the air, check out mainstreetradionetwork.com. Who knows? Maybe there's some advertising services that they offer that you can use. And while you're there, you might as well check out The Alan Nathan Show. It's a great show. I would know because I host it now once a week, unfortunately, since Alan Nathan's passing. But terrific show. Worth checking out. Alan Nathan. And he has his own website. Well, had the website still exists, alannathan.com, despite Alan's unfortunate passing, as first announced a few weeks ago on his show. But we are also on social media, Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, X at Main Street Radio, Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show, where sometimes I post, more or less. I'll be posting when I host this show, at least on the weekends. But I'm very lazy about posting as well, so, you know, if you want to know when I'm hosting the Alan Nathan Show, it's probably best if you just keep following X at Alan Nathan or X at Main Street Radio or Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, and you'll see a post around 5 o'clock every day telling you who is hosting the program, letting you know, should I take the next 2 hours to listen, or am I free for the afternoon? But you always know, at least, that I'll be on the weekend at noon, well, 12:06, really, Eastern Standard Time. Anyway, this past week, we've had a rather tumultuous, for the right, election cycle. Although, I'm not so certain about it, actually, as far as, you know, it being a bellwether more so of the left and where they stand as opposed to the right, because the right here, like, after this election that the Republicans lost severely, you have to keep in mind how many blue states were going on here. I mean, as I said when I guest hosted at the Alan Nathan Show earlier this week, Democrats celebrate Democrat states voting for Democrat candidates, where they are concerned about their party's chances on their home turf, right? Well, now you have this Florida Democrat caught my attention, David Jolly. He actually was on the Alan Nathan Show before, once or twice, believe it or not, except he was a Republican congressman at the time. He thinks, though, that Florida will be he has succumbed to Trump derangement syndrome. That's why he's a Democrat now. But he thinks Florida will be the next state to flip after Tuesday. Got air quotes around that word flip because, well, first of all, nobody flipped. The GOP won Virginia in 2021 by accident. They won the governorship there just totally by accident. It's because the Democrats really flubbed their campaign and didn't turn out. Had nothing to do with the quality of the Republican candidate or campaign or anything like that. And the Virginia state legislature, well, it was Democrat this whole time, pretty much. The state went Democrat in the 2016 and 2020 and 2024 presidential races, too. The state has had two Democrat senators since 2013. The pattern, or the state legislature was, yeah, the state legislature was Democrat for all of the 20th century. It flipped Republican for 20 years and is now turning back to the pattern from the 20th century of being all Democrats. So, no, nothing really flipped in Virginia. If anything, any Republican victory in the state is a flip. Now, David Jolly might be stupid, but even a stopped clock is right twice a day, and New Yorkers are moving to Florida in droves. They voted in Mamdani. Didn't like that they voted for Mamdani, so they are now moving to Florida. that so that they can bring Imam Dhani to Florida in a few years, because liberals are rage filled idiots and they don't quite understand that if they keep voting, you know, for the same radicals to chase them out of their cities, and then they just move to wherever they move to and continue voting for those same radicals. So David Jolly may have a point about his chances in Florida, about flipping Florida, but it has nothing to do with him or his campaign or anything like that. It has more to do with the influx of refugees from left-wing areas who are coming in just to vote left-wing again, because somehow they have this idea. You know, it's liberals who are out there. They're the ones who are saying, oh, the definition of Aunt Sin and Sandy is doing the same thing and expecting different results each time. That's like a maxim that leftists spit at Republicans, right? I mean, you've heard it so many times that you got to gag every time you hear it. I myself am about to gag. But then you have Democrats repeat that. They're the ones who actually carry that out, and the fact that they keep voting the same way after they are chased out of their states, after they're chased out of their cities by the very people they vote in, they just move to other areas and vote for the same kinds of people. They don't learn. They somehow think this time the experiment will work. This time we'll vote leftist and we'll get someone who is not a radical leftist psycho eventually. But New York is about to learn that lesson. I mean, gee whiz, you got this guy there who's coming in and just made a bunch of empty promises that he actually has no power to fulfill some of them. Like some of the stuff, talk about rent freezes or things along those lines. There are issues that are set at the state legislature level. So he really has no power with them, but he says he'll do it anyway somehow. I think it wasn't rent freezes. It was something else. It was something adjacent to rents and apartment building and all that sort of thing that the state legislature had passed laws about. And poor little Mam Dhani, he thinks, oh, I can change it without actually changing the state laws. I can just do it unilaterally in New York City. Well, good luck with that. Now, the thing, though, is he might actually be able to do it because he is surrounded by fellow leftists. So if he hypothetically were to challenge one of these laws by doing some action, and then some landlord went to sue him for it, then the judge in that case might say, well, Mam Dhani does have this authority. Despite what the state legislature passed, despite what the bill said, despite what the law is, I, as a liberal judge, will grant Mam Dhani this power and override the state legislature. That's not very far-fetched, because liberal judges literally have been doing that all year to President Trump, telling him that his authority under the Constitution, and actually in some cases authority granted to him by law with Congress, doesn't exist. This singular judge has the ability to override the legislative and executive branches and decide what is and isn't a law. And that's how leftists operate. They, you know, judges are supposed to decide if something is in accordance with the law, not decide what the law actually is. So just look at the Big Beautiful Bill. There was a provision there defunding Planned Parenthood. Well, Congress allocated no new money to Planned Parenthood, and a judge went after the Trump administration for withholding money from Planned Parenthood, even though Congress, the branch that sets the budget, that passed the law that said there is no budget for Planned Parenthood, even though that is the law, this judge went after the Trump administration for obeying the law. So if that's the kind of character of leftist judges, you know that in New York State, if Mam Dhani were to do something illegal outright, a leftist judge would allow him to do it, and the case would have to go all the way to the Supreme Court. Not the New York State Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court. Wouldn't surprise me, though, if the New York State Supreme Court was, as far left as it is, also infiltrated by spies. I mean, they have a history of that. You know, back when liberals were saying, oh, there's no such thing as KGB spies everywhere, not everyone was a communist, McCarthy was a liar, the New York State Supreme Court had a KGB agent as one of the justices. So, yeah, there's a history there of leftism in that Supreme Court. So it shouldn't surprise anybody that Mam Dhani would be given carte blanche by the judicial branch to do whatever the hell he wants to. And heck, the only reason that the New York State Legislature would oppose him and even bring any of these charges would be they just are afraid of losing some power to their to a mayor, not necessarily afraid of what the mayor was actually doing. So we'll see how this plays out. It's going to be a total totalitarian disaster in New York City. It's certainly not going to be safe to walk the streets, man. He wants to defund the police. So, yeah, New York City is going to be a disaster area. Trump might have to deploy the National Guard there just to be the police. You know, at least in D.C. and other places that he deployed the National Guard earlier this year, there was still a police force operating. Not very well, but they were still functioning. New York City seems under Mamdani, they might end up facing something else, given what he campaigned on. But then again, if it's what the voters wanted, why are we doing anything about it? Why are we trying to stop it? In fact, what we should be doing is making sure no one can leave New York City, hypothetically, when the stuff hits the fan, because they voted for it. Now they want to flee somewhere else? No. Live with it. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
According to a 2025 annual study by National Student Clearinghouse, more than 43 million people have some college credit but no degree. Devin Andrews, Vice President of Admissions and Evaluation at University of Phoenix, explains how to leverage prior college credit and pursue that degree.
Not everyone follows a straight path from high school to a college degree, but a University of Phoenix survey found that 33% of working adults don't realize that their college coursework might still apply toward a degree. Completing a degree can open doors to career enhancement, and previous college credit could count toward a degree, but the potential to save both time and money. Start by documenting your learning, check colleges or universities to see if they have clear policies on transferring credit, and look for tools that might help you assess your program time and cost.
Check out the University of Phoenix mobile app, TransferPath, and download it for a free pre-evaluation of transfer credit.
I think we all know rising food prices are affecting and hitting everyone pretty hard. Bayer is one of the largest agricultural companies in the world, and Luke is not only just a country superstar, but the son of a peanut farmer, and he runs a working farm to this day. So it was a natural partnership. We came together 10 years ago to sponsor Farm Tour and raise awareness around the American farmer, celebrate the American farmer, and tackle hunger. And since then, we've donated over 10 million meals through Feeding America and have educated thousands of families about nutrition. This year, fans have donated an incredible 20,000 pounds of food and non-perishable items at farm tour stops across the country. It was an incredible sight to see. The concert goers were amazing. We were able to fill up truckloads of food. It's really music with the mission and neighbors helping neighbors. Head on over to bayer.us/farmtour for more tips and join us on the farm to help give back and support your local community.
I first want to underscore that Hispanics may be getting the disease younger and may be more at risk, so it's important to be aware of this. Having of course, a history of a Parkinson's in the family, but having chronic constipation, whether in yourself or in your family, also chronic depression yourself or a family, then having smell loss, and also having a long stander, what we call REM sleep behavior. That is when you act out in your dreams, you act out in your sleep, you talk in your sleep, you may sleepwalk. All these are apparently risk factors that contribute to perhaps having a greater incidence or chance of developing Parkinson's. You can go to the michaeljfox.org/PPMI to find out more so that we can make bigger strides. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs. at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. And we are joined for this segment by Stephen Wilford. He is spokesman for Gun Owners of America. He is the archetypical good guy with a gun. In 2017, he stopped the deadliest mass shooting in Texas's history. He is author of A Town Called Sutherland Springs, Faith and Heroism Through Tragedy. Stephen Wilford, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
I'm doing superb. I'm in South Carolina, and I'm doing an event called CanCon right now. So we're setting up, and the range is going to be fine with some full automatics, and everything will have a suppressor on it.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. And I just saw some news about suppressors last night. I don't think it was good, though. There's this case about suppressors. Isn't there going through the courts right now?
Yes, we do have a case to remove suppressors off the NFA altogether. Right now, Gun Owners of America, and it's a good time to talk about. Please go to gunowners.org and sign up. But yes, we have a lawsuit that is working through the courts right now. It was filed in the Fifth Circuit of Texas, which is a very pro-gun circuit. I got to brag on Texas because some people think us Texans are arrogant until they figure out we're not arrogant. We're just right.
I appreciate that. I'm sitting here in the state of Virginia now, and
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we just took a big blow. Maybe not as big as New York City, though, where their new mayor just pledged to not only ban all guns, but defund police as well. That does not sound like a winning combination, though the concern is, with him as the future of the party, what will happen in Virginia next? Because Virginia tends to follow the farthest left. I mean, we have this law in the state right now about environmental regulations where we have to match what California does.
Well, I am really sorry that Virginia has done what they've done. And I'm sure, because absolutely, Virginia is the home office of Gun Owners of America. I am really sure that we will be ready to file those lawsuits to keep your rights.
Mm. And unfortunately, it will seem to be necessary, especially with this attorney general that we have coming in, who is definitely seems to be of the political kind, as we saw with these text messages that leaked from him, where he was talking about fantasizing about murdering Republicans.
So, and he loves guns. He loves guns. He wants his guns to be able to murder people that he doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy is that, that Virginia elected him as an attorney general, as the top law enforcement officer in Virginia? Seriously.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, how much of that, though, was the voters just saying, oh, Democrat after his name, I'm going to vote for that because I hate Trump. We have a lot of, federal workers in the state who would cut off their nose to spite their face. So I'm pretty sure that they would see those text messages and heck, they might even in the moment agree with them. And that's the scary part.
That is the absolute scary part.
So with the There is some hope, though, because I know the Virginia state legislature has tried to pass assault weapons ban in the past couple of years, and very likely we'll get one next year. We'll have one probably within 7 months now. But there are cases floating around that are going to eventually have to make their way to the Supreme Court. Do we see any hope with just bans on assault weapons bans?
We are pushing with the Illinois assault weapons ban, so-called assault weapons ban. GOA is pushing that lawsuit, and we are close to the Supreme Court on that. And we're hoping that the Supreme Court, some of the Supreme Court judges have said that they're going to have to take this up, and we want this to happen. We want it to go to the Supreme Court, and if it does, then we may be able to overturn those radical laws nationwide, not just in Illinois. If the Supreme Court listens to it and hears it, we will overturn it not only in Illinois, but in California and all places in between. You want to hear groundbreaking, and it won't be a it'll be an absolute outcry from California, and so be it.
I certainly hope so, but earlier this year, back in June, the Supreme Court allowed Maryland's assault weapons ban to stand. So what would be the difference in the Illinois case versus Maryland?
Well, they didn't necessarily let it stand. Well, they kind of let it stand, but what they did is they refused to hear it. And there's a difference because back then they said that they were eventually going to have to hear one of these cases. So there's other cases, just like the bump stock ban, what they did with that. They turned down GOA's case for the bump stock ban, but they knew that they had another case coming up, which was Michael Cargill's case. And GOA's lawyers started helping Michael Cargill because they knew that the Supreme Court was going to hear one of those cases. And so eventually what happened is Marshall Cargill's case made it all the way up to the Supreme Court, and we got the bump stock ban overturned. So they didn't necessarily turn it, they just turned down hearing it. And again, our case is coming up and it's ripe and ready. Please go to Gun Owners of America and support us for this. And also I would say, you go to Palmetto State Armory, because now, you know, with our suppressor lawsuit filed in the Northern District of Texas, we are fighting to get the suppressors and short barrel rifles taken off the NFA. And Palmetto State Armory supports us, and they have a lower receiver with a GOA logo on it. And if you purchase that limited lower receiver, all the proceeds go to help our lawsuit against the ATF to get suppressors, short barreled rifles, and shotguns pulled off the NFA. And again, go to gunowners.org and sign up.
And not that I'm instructing listeners to go do anything, but I will say that as one of my panic buys in the lead up to the election, I did in fact purchase the GOA lower receiver from Palmetto State.
Superb. Superb. You're in the fight. Now just make sure you're a member of GOA so you can get all the information and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you all do a lot of good work here, and unfortunately, it's. How would you handle what's going on in New York State, though? I mean, do you have any plans to intervene or any way to actually get in against their gun laws, or are they just too far gone?
Well, no state is too far gone. And we have our lawsuits in New York. We're suing the state of New York all the time. And we will never stop fighting in any state. We actually have Gun Owners of California. You want to talk about a state that's just as far gone as you can, you know, and New Jersey. And we're fighting everywhere. Please be part of it. It's only $25 for an annual membership. Go to gunowners.org, and you will find out when you sign up, you will get messages telling you where and when and how hard to fight.
All right. Well, Stephen Wolford, appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show today to talk about this. And listeners, we've got more programming coming up after this break, so stick with us.
Fall is here with leaves changing color, a chill in the air, shorter days, and longer nights. Fall also ushers in cold and flu season. Are you sure your medicine cabinet is up to the challenge? Pharmacist Amy Lynn Safady says now is the time to get ready for those stuffy noses and achy bodies.
With cold and flu season beginning, preparation is key. Having trusted essentials ready before symptoms inevitably show up helps households stay ahead. CVS Pharmacy is a one-stop shop for all your sick season needs, from vitamin C gummies to extra strength pain relievers. CVS Pharmacy makes it easier than ever to shop for products to support your wellness this fall with a wide range of over-the-counter store brand options that span pain relief, cold and flu, and children's products, ingredient-conscious choices like dye-free children's medicines, and packaging that helps you quickly find the trusted solutions you need.
Check out your local CVS pharmacy for all your cold and flu needs, or go to CVS.com for more.
Cold and flu season is here, and families are searching for natural ways to support immunity. Roxana Asani, registered dietitian and nutritionist, has more.
Herbal remedies help strengthen the body's natural defenses for daily resilience and energy, so you're ready for whatever the season brings.
For adults, that means stronger immunity and steady energy to keep up with work and family. For kids, it's about gentle, safe support parents can feel good about during the school year.
Not all immune support products are created equal. Look for quality-tested options with trusted ingredients. Immune and Energy for adults blends astragalus, ashwagandha, Siberian ginseng, and reishi. For kids ages 3 to 12, our Immune Daily Syrup features clinically researched herbs and raspberry flavor with zero sugar.
Harker Herbals, New Zealand's leading natural wellness company, has been making herbal remedies for 45 years. Now their immune and wellness products are available in the U.S. on Amazon and harkerherbals.com.
Across the country, thousands of military families are facing a devastating hardship during the government shutdown. Before October 1st, one in four active duty families already struggled to afford groceries. Military Family Advisory Network CEO Shannon Razadin.
When the shutdown entered its second week, we started hearing from military families who were incredibly nervous about their paycheck and if they'd be able to put food on the table. That's why we launched MFAN's Emergency Grocery Support Program. Within the first 72 hours, more than 50,000 military families applied for grocery support.
MFAN is calling on Americans to join the response and to donate. You can visit combatmilitaryhunger.org.
We feel that no military family should have concerns around putting food on the table, and we know that so many Americans share that belief. Please join us by donating at combatmilitaryhunger.org, and we will make sure that the groceries are delivered to the military families who need it most.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend, coming to you from the CIA state of Virginia. Why do I call it that, you may be curious? Well, we have a CIA operative as our governor now. Governess? Anyway, she, Abigail Spanberger, she was in the CIA, which means she still is in the CIA, I would assume. You never leave the company. As I mentioned on the Al Nathan Show, it wouldn't surprise me at all if when George H.W. Bush was president, wouldn't surprise me at all if he was still operating at the behest of the CIA. But anyway, We have also in the state this attorney general. This is where the death squad comes. Well, did I say CIA death squad? No, CIA death squad is who's running the state. It's the CIA state of Virginia. Not the great state of Virginia, as Alan Nathan used to say whenever introducing a congressman. He would say, oh, Congressman so-and-so from the great state of... No, it's Governor Spamberger of the CIA state of Virginia, or co-host Joe of the CIA state of Virginia. Though I'm not in the CIA, I'm probably on their death list that they got their hit squad in charge now. What with that attorney general who, in his mind anyway, seems it should be legal to murder your political opponents and murder children and murder police officers for the sake of getting a policy change. And I harp on that because, really, he just exposed what the Democrat Party at large feels, as evidenced by the fact that the Democrat Party at large voted for him. But in his, also evidenced by, you know, how they wanted to abuse the shutdown for leverage at the expense of people not getting food stamps and not getting and starving, as the Democrats would say. Oh, Republicans are starving the poor people by not caving into our demands that have nothing to do with the starvation of the public. Like, make it make sense, right? Democrats are saying that people with SNAP benefits are going to starve to death unless insurance companies get billions of dollars in subsidies? That's their argument. That's the argument they are presenting. And their voters are buying it, I guess. They keep citing all these polls that show, oh, the public's turning against Trump. I mean, maybe the Republicans just need to do a better job of explaining this is what's happening. Democrats are holding your food, your welfare hostage so that insurance companies can get billions of dollars. And I guess I'm not very surprised at the stupidity of the Democrat voter in not realizing that. I mean, at this time last year, well, 11 months ago anyway, the CEO of a health insurance company was assassinated and the Democrat Party seemed largely in favor of it, or at least had a large animosity towards health insurance companies. But now they're willing to let people starve so that those very same health insurance companies will get billions of dollars of taxpayer money? Yeah, that is liberal logic for you. I did mention their fundamental lack of intelligence in the opening segment, though, so go figure. Anyway, this attorney general candidate in Virginia is a microcosm of this attitude where Democrats are willing to starve people and hurt people in order to get a solution to, in order to get their way, in order to get their legislation passed or where the hell they want. And in a lot of cases, they just create a problem that actually is related to the legislation that they want. I mean, right now they're creating a problem that's totally unrelated and they're tying them together by, and just hoping that the public accepts it and that the media will accept it. But we're not, but and we're actually seeing that starting to succeed now that we're past a month into the shutdown, on track to make it the longest shutdown in history. Well, recent history, U.S. government history, whatever the hell history. We've probably had things shut down in human history for a lot longer. But anyway, I think the Roman Empire is still shut down. I think they take the record for that, right? Anyway, maybe, no, ancient Israel, the, you know, Solomon's Israel. I think that's been shut down for a while, too. But I digress. Anyway, back to the state of Virginia. You have this attorney general candidate who, based on his text messages I've talked about on the show, I've talked about on the Alan Nathan show, bear with me here as I reiterate for any new listeners, he has these text messages where he's talking about, first he wants to murder a Republican because that Republican dared to show compassion, kindness to a fellow Democrat who had passed away. The Republican shows up at the funeral. Jay Jones was so offended by that act of bipartisanship, that act of compassion, they wanted to murder the guy and doubled down on wanting to murder the guy when called out. And furthermore, he wanted to murder the guy's children so that his surviving widow would agree to anti-gun policies. And he wanted police officers to die for those policies as well. And he apparently wants children to die for those policies because he wants to remove security from schools, thus enabling mass shooters. We've seen plenty of times where a mass shooter, when manifestos or the like are available or when motive is found, we find that, this person picked this target because it had no security whatsoever. So as Jay Jones from the security of the state capitol, armed guards all around him, he says that our schools should be defenseless. Why? Because he wants gun bans. And the only way to get them is for children to die. And he's perfectly willing to have that happen, just the same as he's perfectly willing to have police officers die, in his own words, for these policy changes. And as I talked about on the Alan Nathan show earlier this week, isn't it interesting how there is no need for the policies that he wants right now? Otherwise, he wouldn't need to kill people. So he wants to create a situation where people die so that the policy that he wants is the solution. He wants to create the problem and then offer himself as the solution, which is how Democrats roll. We saw that during the pandemic with those riots that were going on. Oh, the riots will end if you vote for us. Well, we still had nonstop rioting in Portland. Good luck with that. But we also had this with the financial crisis in 2008. Democrats allowed it to happen. Now, that situation, they weren't as directly responsible as with the riots in 2020. That's it. In the situation in 2008, that probably was going to happen. They just, lit the match for the powder keg to detonate it. But at some point, it was going to spark anyway and blow up the housing market. So that one they just triggered in order to take political advantage of it. And George W. Bush tried to get the Democrats 17 times. They controlled Congress. He tried 17 times to get them to stop the crash from happening. They refused to act because they knew they could create this problem, then ride it to victory in 2008, which they did. So that is, like their friend Rahm Emanuel, the Democrat former mayor of Chicago, advisor to Obama, said, never let a crisis go to waste. That's how Democrats do. And they even have to create the crisis just so that they can offer themselves as the solution to that crisis they created, which they're doing with this government shutdown. Oh, you are starving from food, from not having food stamps. Well, you just give us more support and you get these poll numbers going against President Trump, and you force your legislators to give billions of dollars to the healthcare giants. Then we'll make this problem go away. Extortion, that's what it is. They created the problem, and they want you to give them power, in order, more power, so that they can solve this problem that they created for the sake of getting more power, which then makes you question their motives. There wasn't a problem before. You're willing to hurt people, or in the case of Jay Jones, murder people, murder police officers, murder children, kill, 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 kill. That seems to be all Jay Jones really knows. Well, that and lying about community service hours or whatnot, trying to defraud the legal system. He knows how to do that too, it seems. But aside from that, he also seems to only know how to kill, which is great for an attorney general. I mean, if you want a hanging judge or something, but not if you actually want justice, which we're not going to get from this guy. He's most likely going to be an Alvin Bragg or a Letitia James and focus strictly on punishing political opponents, even if you have to make something up about them. And let his own side get off the hook. I mean, look what was happening under Letitia James. We've talked about it before on this show. You had crisis pregnancy centers that were firebombed, threatened with terrorist threats, and Letitia James instead prosecuted them for daring to exist. So that's what we're going to get out of this Attorney General Jay Jones for sure, at a minimum, if not more and worse. But so you have to wonder, though, what is his end goal? Obviously, it's not that he cares about people's safety, and that's why he wants these policy changes that he talks about. That he talks about killing for. No, you don't create a problem like that if you want to solve it with an altruistic intention. He's got to have some other motive, like total disarmament of the public, so that we can't resist him. As you heard the last guest said, he wants to be the one. Jay Jones wants to be the one with all the guns, and wants you defenseless against him. Why would someone want that? Well, that's the Democrat Party in general. They want you defenseless. Well, we kind of saw why they might want that back in 2020, didn't we? All those scared people who wanted the riots to end voted Democrat. They saw that fear and terrorism get their way. And look at how many of them support terrorism now. After the assassination of Charlie Kirk, after the assassination of the UnitedHealthcare CEO, after the assassination attempts on Trump. I mean, I guess it's no wonder that Democrats voted in Jay Jones. They support all that stuff to begin with. So why would they let these text messages? If anything, these text messages were an advertisement. If anything, the Republicans should have buried these text messages and made the Attorney General look weak on prosecuting political opponents. That probably would have played better than exposing what the monster that he really is, because that monster is the Democrat Party. More Silk Radio Show after this break.
Starbucks' new protein lattes and cold foam drinks are now available nationwide, explains lifestyle expert Kia Malone.
Starbucks' new lineup of protein lattes and protein cold foam drinks are delicious and protein-packed, delivering up to 36 grams of protein per grande. One of my favorites is the new chocolate cream protein cold brew, handcrafted with smooth layers of chocolate protein cold foam and cold brew sweetened with vanilla syrup, and it delivers about 19 grams of protein per grande.
Malone also details the new Starbucks Protein Boosted Milk, which can be used to customize any beverage that includes milk.
Protein Boosted Milk is made using 2% milk and premium whey protein, contains no added sugar, and adds approximately 12 to 16 grams of protein per grande. There's a full menu of protein beverages for customers to choose from the iced sugar-free vanilla protein latte to the iced protein matcha latte and more.
Find the new protein drinks at your local Starbucks today and learn more at protein.starbucks.com.
As colder months set in, families and kids spend more time indoors and on screens. That is experts concerned. But as pediatrician and Next Playground Chief Pediatric Advisor Dr. Emily Greenwald explains, it's not screen time itself that's the problem.
So the real concern is that screen time often means long stretches of inactivity. A lack of enough movement can affect kids' physical development, school performance, and even their mental health.
Dr. Greenwald says the solution is more physically active play.
Kids need at least 60 minutes of active play every day. I prescribe active play for 60 a day, whether that's bundling up for an outdoor adventure or finding indoor ways to get families playing and moving together.
That's the idea behind Next Playground, the active play system that gets families moving together. There are plenty of ways to play, from Zumba Fitness Party to beloved characters like Cookie Monster, Kung Fu Panda, and Barbie, and now the first ever Bluey active play game. Learn more at nextplayground.com.
The Medicare annual enrollment period runs each year from October 15th through December 7th, and it's an important time of year for the millions of Americans who already enjoy Medicare coverage. It's their chance to compare plan options for 2026. We know that Medicare coverage can be confusing. One thing I recommend to help navigate through the process is really focus on two things: cost and coverage. For cost, you want to consider things like the plan's premium, deductibles, copay or coinsurance. And for coverage, you should look not only at the medical coverage, things like hospital and doctor visits, but also prescription drug coverage and any extra benefits. The annual enrollment period runs from October 15th through December 7th. It's a great time to compare those cost and coverage of the plans available. Lots of options to consider for your Medicare choices in 2026. To help you navigate, I would recommend starting with a visit to MedicareEducation.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for tuning in this week into the program. We're wrapping up this hour with William DeAgostino. He is Senior Research Analyst at the Media Research Center. William, happy to have you on the show. How are you today? Yep, do we have you, William DeAgostino?
Yeah, sorry, am I coming through?
Yes, you're coming through now. How are you today?
There we go. Yeah, I'm doing great, man. How's it going?
Going well. Better than the shutdown is going, I guess, especially for the GOP, the way the media has yet again tried to spin the shutdown against them. But like, the media, they really have to be careful here because the Democrats are shutting down the government and defunding people who have food stamps because they want to give billions of dollars in taxpayer money to health insurance giants, which the Democrat Party base hated the last time I checked. What's going on here?
Right, I know. Yeah, when you lay it out like that, the whole thing sounds just completely counterintuitive, right? Like it sounds like the snake eating itself as far as policy goes. It's completely nonsensical. I think the problem is that the Democrats know that they can get away with this kind of thing because they have a compliant media complex working for them. When we look at coverage of the last three shutdowns, it's basically always been, as long as Democrats are in control of two of the three centers of power in Congress, so like Senate, White House, and House of Representatives, then it becomes the Republicans' fault. That's basically how this works. That's always how the media frame things. And so now, for the first time ever, we have Republicans controlling the White House, controlling the House, and controlling the Senate. They just don't have a supermajority in the Senate. And they are once again not able to get a continuing resolution through. In that case, anybody looking at how, like, aware of how this process works and looking at what's playing out in Washington will conclude, okay, well, that's Democrats not getting on board. And yet we see the media continuing to do the same thing that they've always done, blaming Republicans and elevating Democrats, basically the people trying to fix things. And so the fact that you have this division of power in Washington and still people predominantly blaming Trump and Republicans for this shutdown, I think is proof positive that the media's influence is, despite the fact that it may be waning, it's still certainly putting a thumb on the scale and a pretty meaningful one for Democrats.
And as far as the people who are sitting there believing it, I mean, do they not remember their opinions on the shutdown over the past couple of years, you know, the last couple of times where they thought, well, Republicans are the ones who are holding it up or whatever. Now Democrats are in that same position. Like, are people really, is their short-term memory that bad?
I think it might be. I think it's also rather selective. And look, I mean, if you're somebody who doesn't routinely pay attention to politics, it's just something that you sort of absorb by osmosis through the culture or whatever. You are basically a prime target for this kind of messaging, right? Because you're not necessarily going to be watching every news report, looking into all the details of it. All you're hearing is, well, the government's shut down, and you're looking at who's in charge, and that's basically that, right? This is who this kind of messaging or this control over the reporting affects the most.
Yeah, and I guess the average person out there is just, you know, I guess how many people, too, with all the news cycles we've had and all this bias coverage against Trump, I mean, at this point, you know, anyone watching the news to get this information would be used to attuned to the bias anyway and might be their very own bias.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And so many people are siloing themselves off in these little information bubbles that, yeah, that is generally the case these days, is you will see that the majority of people watching, say, for example, MSNBC, know exactly what the bias inherent on MSNBC is, and that's sort of what they're seeking out, right? They're seeking out people who think and talk in that way because that's probably also how they think and talk. What I will say is, with broadcast networks specifically, ABC, CBS, and NBC, their evening newscasts, they're like their nightly evening newscast, which start about 6:30. They're only like 30 minutes long, but they are the most viewed news programs in the country. In aggregate, across all three combined, they average about 19 to 20 million viewers per night. And in fact, even a large portion of older Republicans say that they watch at least one of those three newscasts. That's where they get a large portion of their news. So as far as cable goes, I would say the information silo model of people seeking out their own news is definitely more so the case. But broadcast networks specifically, I think, are kind of have a lot more trust of the American populace that I would argue they really don't deserve. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think the bias is just as strong there. It's just a lot less overt. It's a lot more manifested in gatekeeping and how they choose to organize and program their stories, as opposed to random outbursts and absurd commentary.
Right, because unlike the 24-hour and 24/7 networks, the broadcast networks, they only get you for half an hour at night and then an hour on Sunday morning. So they've got to really consolidate their opinions and views. And the FCC might go after them, too, if they present themselves the way, say, Fox News or MSNBC would.
Right, exactly. And so instead, most of the manipulation that you see, most of the narrative control that you see being exhibited by broadcast networks is what we call bias by omission, right? Which is it's effectively just gatekeeping. It's choosing to ignore any story that is inconvenient to Democrats or that is beneficial to Republicans. And so, for example, we've studied all of their coverage of the shutdown throughout October. We found only 12 instances across all three networks on their evening newscasts. Where they actually explicitly said that this shutdown was being caused by Senate Democrats not wanting to vote for the Republicans' continuing resolution. Only 12 instances. So that's less than one-fifth of their stories about the shutdown actually explained what had even caused the shutdown to begin with. Instead, you get a lot of sound bites like, oh, well, there was a continuing resolution that was just voted on in the Senate, but unfortunately it failed. And then no further details, right? No explanation of, for example, okay, well, why did it fail? Well, not enough Democrats came across the aisle to actually vote for the continuing resolution. That's why it didn't pass.
Yeah, more of that gatekeeping by omission. And then they get to say, well, see, we reported the fact. Oh, we only had 2 minutes for that segment. We didn't have time to put the rest of it in, so we only put in what we deemed relevant.
Exactly. Yeah, that is quite often the excuse. Of course, it's interesting. They always seem to manage to find time for their favorite narrative topic.
Right. Yeah. Like they totally disregarded Arctic Frost. That was another thing that your organization mentioned. Where can our listeners find out more about what the Media Research Center does? We have only about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, sure. Come check us out at newsbusters.org. You should also follow us on X at newsbusters and Instagram, same handle. If you so choose, follow me as well on X at band_Bill.
All right. Well, William DeAgostino, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show. And listeners, of course, our websites are mainstreetmedianetwork.com. As I mentioned in the opening, we do have alannathan.com as well, because I guest host for him a lot. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.